Riverdale After Dark, a podcast about the CW's Riverdale that has been wandering through the dark for ever so long. Not very long, but kind of long, but it's gonna be in the dark for a while, but it's popping its head up into the light one more time. I'm Alex.
One of the scariest things you realize as you get older is you really like TV shows, especially this one. It's, you know, like sort of outside of what you'd normally expect to be like a fan of. And man, it's a long ways until we get more of it. I'm Justin.
I'm also in withdrawal. I'm Pete.
Wow. An extra added note from Pete LePage.
This is a
special episode indeed of Riverdale After Dark. Now, because you folks demanded it, and because we wanted to do it, we're doing an extra bonus episode of Riverdale After Dark, where we are going to be talking about all the big news that came out right after season four, abbreviatedly completed, going into season five. And we also got a bunch of questions and comments and thoughts from you guys on Twitter, so we're going to read all of those out in the show as well. But most importantly of all, this is something that all three of us had definitely agreed to do. Earlier in the day, we were texting, and I had sent a text yesterday saying, hey guys, when do you want to tape this podcast? And I didn't hear anything. So I texted back again today, and I said,
That's an important part. That's an important part to put in
there,
I guess.
Hey guys, when do you want to tape this podcast? And Pete was like, what do you want to do, 8:30 or 9? And I was like, I don't know, either works for me. He's like, great, 8:30. And I said, don't you want to let Justin weigh in
on this? Your pal Justin.
And he was like, fine, whatever. Justin weighed in, said 9 would be better. And then Pete immediately was like, what are we doing?
Yes.
Which I thought was a great follow-up to that angry reaction.
That's definitely a second question. The way most things work is you schedule it first and then figure out what it is you're doing. That's the way most like sporting events, dates, everything goes.
That's how I roll. I would like to say, though, on my, you know, I was working on my computer and
you were working on your computer.
Wow.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Elon Musk over here.
So when iMessage comes up, it's just the number. So it doesn't say who it is. So I thought the text read, hey, do you want to, you know, one person was like, hey, do you want to do tonight? Great. And then I thought Justin was like 8:30 or 9. I was like, 8:30, let's do this.
This is a bad excuse this is a bad excuse because in your explanation, Justin and I are texting for the same number.
Yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense unless you miss a lot of information. But I think the important thing that came out of that was Pete was like, what do we have to do for tonight? And I was like, well, of course, the read the poem that we all worked on.
The poem that you guys promised that I had nothing to do of, but then you were like, hey, make sure you write your poem.
That's right. And let me throw this out there. I made that up today just to get you. Like, there was no – see, we had never talked about a poem.
And now on the show, like, someone had said something about a poem, and you guys jokingly said, yeah, we'll all write poems.
No,
that never happened. That was totally made up today. You believed it, and you wrote a poem, and now we get to hear it.
Wait, you guys didn't write a poem?
No, of course not. Justin was making that up completely. We'd never talked about that before.
I thought someone said that in our Slack or something. It was like a...
That's what happens when you believe me, I guess. Yeah. You filled in the gap.
Is it possible that a muse whispered on the wind, Pete, write a Riverdale poem for me?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Did you write a Riverdale poem?
Yeah, I mean, it's more spoken word, but yeah, you know, I definitely...
Spoken word.
Wow.
Okay. So I guess at the end of this episode, Pete is going to read his poem.
For sure.
And this is a poem about your favorite Riverdale character.
Right. Now, let me ask you guys something. How about this? How about if I read my shitty poem, you guys have to then write a poem, and I'll give you all the way until the next episode of Riverdale, or the next time we do a Riverdale podcast. How about that?
I will have a haiku for you tonight.
Ooh, wow, really?
I will read a haiku at the end of this episode.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. I love your boldness. Like, you could just crank out a haiku that quick?
575, baby.
Oh, that must be your classically trained actor styling.
That's right.
Here, I'll do one right now. Cheryl Blossom killed a possum. How'd she do it? Because she's awesome. How's that?
Pretty good. Wow. If that's better than Pete's
poem. That's a lot.
Because Pete, by his own admission, spent a large portion of the day doing his poem. Mm-hmm.
No, not a large portion. I just kept forgetting to do it, and then I thought that we were starting at 8:30, so I had a whole half an hour to get it done.
Wow. Oh, this is great.
This is good content. This is in place of our recap, is just a little window into our worlds and how we prepare for this podcast.
Well, let's get into it, because as mentioned, there was a ton of stuff that came out right after the season four finale. For those of you who don't remember, because that was a couple of weeks ago now, the season ended at episode 19. They had filmed through episode 19 before coronavirus shut everything down. They had filmed most of episode 20. Reports varied a little bit. It was either two-thirds of it, half of it. They had two scenes left, something like that. Whatever it was, when Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, the showrunner, and other folks looked at it, they realized they couldn't successfully do episode 20 in a way that they were happy with, and they felt like the cliffhanger at the end of episode 19 at least left people in a good place where then they could come back in season 5. Now, the way that it's going to work for season 5, and we were speculating about this, is going to be a regular length season. All of the stuff on the CW, they haven't given specific episode orders out yet, or at least not announced them. But if it was a 22-episode show, it's still going to be a 22-episode show. If it was a 13-episode show, it's still going to be a 13-episode show. The catch, though, is they're not coming back until January 2021.
Damn.
Woof. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
That's when they start shooting, or that's when they're going to air?
Yeah, they film, they broadcast live. Like, it's a live show, so they'll start.
It'll help.
They've been writing season 5 for a while at this point. Like, they shut down, and then they all hopped on Zoom and started breaking and working on season 5. So they're going to have the scripts all prepped. Obviously, everybody hopes to start filming in July as usual or something like that. But basically, the actually very nice thing that the CW did is they talked to the showrunners and they felt like, what is the earliest we can get people back that they're comfortable with, where they're not going to feel stressed creatively, where they're not at a point where it's like, we're coming back in October, and then it's like, oh shit, we got to jam this out. From chatting with everybody, they got the sense that, okay, we can have episodes completed as long as things open up at a reasonable time, even if they open up late, you know, even if we need to take a longer time with production than we normally would. January is a time where it feels like we could deliver creatively at the level that we are happy with and have continued to be happy with, which I think is really good.
Yeah, it feels like a long ways away, but it's actually pretty quick. I am surprised by how fast that is. So that's great.
Yeah. Well, it's different than a lot of the other networks. I mean, CBS and ABC in particular, I think, have said business as usual coming back in October with nothing to back that up, which seems insane.
Yeah.
So good for them. It's going to be a long time. It's going to be sad to see the show off the air that long, but hopefully they're going to have a season rocking and rolling by then. They have most of the premiere already shot at this point, so that's great. But before we get into specifics, let me read off the part of the teaser that the CW sent out. Most of it was a recap of what happened in season 4, but the very end was talking about season 5. So here's what we got. Season 5 of Riverdale will begin with our characters' final days as students at Riverdale High. From an epic senior prom to a bittersweet graduation, there were a lot of emotional moments and goodbyes yet to come, with some couples breaking up as everyone goes their separate ways to college or elsewhere. Then we will, and I think this is a misspelling, but then we will redock with our gang as young adults, all returning to Riverdale to escape their troubled pasts. And life and romance will only be more complicated now that they're in their 20s.
Oh, 20s. Can you ever imagine being that old?
I don't know, man. I'm just hanging out here playing Fortnite, watching YouTube videos, and having a good time.
But, Zalbin, what do you think the misspelling was, or what do you think that word actually was redoc? Supposed to be?
I don't know. It just sounds very marketing language to me, so I'm not 100% sure. Rejoin our gang or something. Yeah, I don't know what it was.
I don't know. Redoc could be a nod to Archie's budding naval career.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's possible. It was just a weird word that jumped out to me for some reason. But before we get too stuck on ridiculous words in press releases, let's talk through the episodes. Let's talk through the stuff that happens before the time jump. And then, of course, we'll talk about the time jump. First, there's the prom episode. This is episode 20. This is going to be the season premiere. It is going to be a legit prom episode. It's also going to be picking up the whole voyeur mystery, everything that's going on there. They're not going to forget about that. But the big takeaway is, because there are a couple of interviews about this and there's been a lot of speculation, there was some interesting language used to talk about the couples. Pete, I know you responded to the couples breaking up before everybody goes their separate ways. It sounds like
couples. Plurals.
Yeah. It sounds like there's three things that are going to be going on with each of the, there's one thing that's going to be going on with each of the three couples, excuse me. So for Varchi, it sounds like there's going to be serious trouble.
That old thing.
And you caught on to this, I think, Justin, but there was the whole thing with Archie sang that song for Betty and got stopped in the middle. It sounds like that's going to get picked up again.
Boo. Yes.
So,
I mean, Archie, once you write a song, you got to get it out there.
No, you don't.
And he's going to be like, this song's for you, Veronica. Betty! I love Betty! That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the popular theory, which I think totally tracks, is there was that scene where Mary Andrews was like, oh, did you write that song for Veronica? Oh, so cute. Mm-hmm. She's going to love it. My feeling is she's going to be like, hey, Veronica, did you hear Archie wrote a song for you? And yeah. Veronica's be yes. like, oh, you have to sing it at prom for me or something 100%. Like that. But the variance, a lot of the discussion has been, what do you think is going to happen after that? Like, is it legitimately going to be like, your blonde hair and blue eyes and I love how you date Jughead?
No. I think it's going to be.
Don't think you killed that cat. Betty.
I think it's going to be one of those things where everybody's going to think it's for Veronica, but there's going to be one little line in there that tips Veronica off, and then she's going to look over at Betty, and Betty's just going to be like pale-faced, like, oh, shit, this is definitely about me, and now, you know.
Do you think she's going to be like yanking her collar a little bit?
Yeah, like, oh,
classic
Archie, stop. But as far as the breakups are concerned, I will be all right if Archie and Veronica break up. But if you break up both Cheryl and Tony, as well as Betty and Jughead,
My prediction, if we're into the prediction phase of this, I think Shoni Chopaz is strong and Bughead and Varchi are done.
The Buckhead thing was interesting. Like, here's the details about the Buckhead thing. It sounds like, based on the description, that they're going to have a more heartfelt discussion at prom rather than a breakup at prom. Like, the hint certainly seems to be Veronica and Archie breaking up at prom, probably because of what happened with Betty and Archie. Buckhead, though, it seems like they're going to be totally focused on their future and the fact that Jughead is going to University of Iowa and Betty is going to be going to Yale. So they're going to be in two different places. So my suspicion is they're not going to break up at prom, but they are going to break up by the end of the season and head their separate ways.
Yes. That's what I'm saying as well. I'm not saying it all happens at prom.
Yeah.
I think by the end of the season, we're going to end up with the double breakup.
If you,
Shoni Chopaz.
Yeah. If you give me like, okay, Cheryl and Tony together, Archie breaks up, and then off screen, Betty and Jughead break up, and then we see them years later coming back to Riverdale. okay, that's a little bit easier as long as you give me the hope that they're going to get back together by the end of this fucking thing.
What do you mean by this fucking thing? Like your life?
Yes, my life. Yeah.
You think you're going to survive to January 2021, Pete?
I'm trying. Yeah. That's what my new fucking goal is now.
Nice.
Well, yeah. I got to survive until it comes out.
Oh, okay. Wow. Just the first episode, though, right? You're going to watch the season premiere, and then you're done.
And then keel over.
Baby steps.
Well, let's talk about Shodi as well, because that was the other one that got teased a bit. And reports vary, is I think the way that I would put this. So the Shodi fan base flipped out when the news came out about what was going to happen at prom. There was a tease that it's going to be Romeo and Juliet-esque because we're finally going to meet Tony's family and they disapprove of Cheryl.
Of course.
So that's the plot line there. And people are like, oh, shit, this is everything we ever wanted. There's a big Shodi storyline at prom. We're finally going to meet Tony's family. This is so exciting. People wrote Vanessa Morgan on Twitter and were like, oh, my God, are you so excited to finally get a backstory for Tony? And she was like, LOL, still waiting or something like that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So my suspicion here is this is like two scenes, right?
Or it's just like we don't get a backstory. We just get characters showing up to cause problems.
Right.
But I think this to me feels like this kind of stumbling block that will be the plot of an episode, but they will overcome it. Mm-hmm. It's very much in line with their story, I think.
Yeah. What do you think, Pete?
I think they're going to mess with us where it's going to be like Cheryl's in all the scene or Tony's in all the scenes. But she's just, like, in the background of every scene. Like, she's in every scene, but she's still, like, the background.
Even the ones that she shouldn't be in. She's just, like, hanging out there.
Yeah. That'd be great. And she's in the men's bathroom, and she's like, oh, sorry, my bad, and, like, walks out.
Oh, yeah. And that's fun. The fans go crazy for that. And the whole time she's in the background, like, introducing her parents to people that we can't really see or hear the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, telling long stories.
What I could see happening is that we do finally meet Tony's family. We know that they hate the Blossom family because the Blossom family took over their land to found Riverdale and kicked them out of there.
Yeah.
That's way back from season two continuity. But I'm sure they'll come in and be like, you're dating a Blossom? How dare you? And then she'll be like, I've literally never seen any of you before on this show, so get out of here. Yeah. And it'll be fine. So that's the prom. Then there's another episode, which is probably going to be...
Wait, did they say anything about the theme of prom?
I think they established the theme of prom, right? It was old Hollywood. I know that was in a dream sequence, but I feel like it counts anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that tracks. Like, even if it was just a dream, that dream coming true is fun and good for the... You know, makes sense with the show.
Yeah. So then we'll have the next episode. I'd imagine, as usual, they'll probably wrap up the voyeur mystery in some sense that episode and then deal with the fallout. And the last episode is going to be the graduation episode. And then everybody heads off in their different directions. The original plan was to have a time jump as a twist at the end of the season where they go ahead 4-ish, 5-ish years. As much as time matters in Riverdale. That's still going to happen in some sense, but it sounds like they're tweaking the plan a little bit because it takes place in the 3rd, 4th episode versus at the end of the season, which makes sense
that's cool.
to me.
I like that they're keeping it where it falls naturally and not trying to do a bunch of trickery to get to where they want the story to go anyway.
Yeah. And then the other thing that folks were asking about is they did immediately call Skeet Ulrich and Marisol Nichols, who are going to be leaving at the end of the season, ask them if they'd be okay with coming back. And they said, absolutely, we'll come back. We'll finish off what we need to do in the first couple of episodes. They're also, neither of them are dying at the end of the season, and they have a open door to come back at any point, which is pretty good.
That means they can wander onto set at any time.
Yeah,
they can hang out in the men's bathroom with Tony Topaz.
Smart. Oh, sorry.
Oh, geez, this place is getting awfully crowded. So there we go. That's most of the news, I think. The big thing about the time jump that I think people have been wondering about is, what do you think is going to happen? What's going to happen when they come back after college?
Well, listen to this. Here's my number one theory. Obviously, they're going to come back. They're going to be in their 20s, meaning they can drink. That means that the speakeasy is going to come above ground,
mm-hmm.
and Pops is going to go underground.
No, okay. Don't put Pops underground.
Pops is the secret and the no. Bon Nuit is up top.
No, that doesn't make sense.
That's yeah. perfect. Because when you're in your 20s, you're like, oh, man, my metabolism's changing. Can't eat all these hamburgers anymore. So it goes
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, because you're 24.
Yeah. Do you think, since it is only going to be about like a 4 or 5 year time jump, do you think the new illegal thing under Pops Underground is going to be a car rental facility for underage people because they're not 25 yet?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Smart.
Veronica's going to be smart. Secretly upgrading people from compact to do whatever the next one is.
Weird detail that people have pointed out, which I think is absolutely true, is the idea of they're all returning to Riverdale to escape their troubled pasts, which seems like a very bad idea.
Yeah. Let's talk through, like, go character by character, like, what any predictions. We can assume that they're at least going to start on the paths that they're going to leave on, that we sort of have clues about.
All right.
Navy, Yale, Iowa, Jughead going to Iowa to be a writer, ostensibly. Veronica going to New York. Is that what we are yeah. sort of predicting?
Yeah, she's going to Barnard. So, yes, she'll be there.
Yeah.
I think Archie's not going to make it in the Navy Academy. He's going to drop out and then, like, really get into hacky sack and grow dreads. And, like, when we see him, he's going to be in this, like, you know, all-natural kind of phase, just, like, really into hacky sack.
He's going to be crunchy Andrews.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice. Would you say he's all natural or just how would he refer to it?
He probably is all natural, yeah.
Nice. I do think it would make a lot of sense to be, like, pick up with Archie getting off the boat at the pier in Riverdale, even though it's landlocked from the Navy, yeah. and then being like, here yeah. I am back in town. And that's what starts things up again.
I agree. It's sort of, I think it has to be Archie actually. Like he is sort of the touchstone for the show. So we do need to, maybe it's just him walking out of the woods and shaving his bear fur off. And he's like, I've been a bear for 4 years. Now I'm going to be a man again.
I think it's Jughead walking in the White Worm and Archie is like running it.
The like, White Worm.
And it's like
deep cut.
Creepy and weird. And it's kind of like Twin Peaksy. And Jughead's really worried about like Archie's state of mind.
Oh, so it's like a fucked up Cheers now.
Yeah.
Nice.
A fucked up Cheers. More fucked up than the original Cheers, which was very fucked up.
Yes.
So, I mean, who's going to succeed and who's going to sort of fail? I think that those are big indicators.
Betty's going to be, you know, big time.
You think Betty's going to succeed?
Oh, yeah. You can't stop Betty.
I mean,
in what way?
She's probably going into the FBI, right? Or becoming a lawyer or something like that, I think.
Or president of the United States.
Right, president. Yeah, something
that,
small.
That's big. That'd be a big move for the show.
I
they changed
that,
the law. Though. You can be 24 and be president now.
Yeah.
Right, President Cooper?
I'm dealing with my darkness, guys. Veronica, I think, I would love to see Veronica not in New York, but having done the classic Veronica Lodge thing from the comics where she's in Paris. Like she's in Paris. Yeah. She's part of the fashion scene there. She has somebody new that she's dating at this point. Maybe they're engaged or something like that. But she is a powerful business person. And then once she gets back to Riverdale, those old Varchy feelings just spark up again.
Oh, wow. I think that's definitely one path. Possible path for her, but let me throw this out. Of all the characters, I feel like the most unexpected person to have stayed in Riverdale would be Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
And since Hiram sort of owns most of the town, I could see her being the one that's there, and she is sort of has multiple businesses now and sort of has become Hiram in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about her sort of having given in to all of the bad sort of family choices that Hiram made, and now she's become him.
Interesting.
What do you think about this? Like, everybody is away except for Cheryl, and Cheryl's now like the Batman of Riverdale, and she's been using her archery skills to like clean up the streets. And then when everybody comes back, they're like, you know, like trying to get Cheryl like back to normal, but she's not having it.
The beauty of this show is we can say literally anything, and there's like a decent chance.
I think Cheryl and Tony still together after the jump, still in Riverdale, makes a lot of sense to me. Like, they could do bigger things. They could go on to bigger things, but there's no reason for Cheryl to leave the Blassem family legacy or anything like that. So I could see them staying. And I could see a sort of situation where it's like, they've been dating for, what, 5-6 years now or something like that. And Tony's like, when are you going to pop the question, Cheryl? And she's like, I'm too busy with these million things that I'm doing.
I think Jughead, I think that's great. I agree. I think they're sort of the romance that's working. And maybe it's about domesticity and whatever their sort of very stable life is for them now. I think Jughead and Betty, though, are going to be the ones that are having the hardest time.
Mm-hmm.
And their return to Riverdale is going to be about sort of figuring out who they are still. Like, I feel like Betty will, whether she's in the FBI or whatever, I think will have given into a lot of her dark sort of side. And I think Jughead, based on a lot of his work so far, is maybe not going to be a successful writer.
I could see a situation where Jughead like sold a novel during college. It did okay, but not great.
Yeah.
And he's having trouble writing anything ever again.
Wow. Yeah. And that novel will be literally like The Gargoyle King.
Yes, absolutely.
It'll be like something direct from their lives.
And it's not until he goes back to Pops and gets like eats 40 cheeseburgers that he gets his writing back.
I came up with an idea. It's called Supersize Me. Oh, shit.
And of course, we have Reggie. What's Reggie going to be up to?
I don't know. Not on the show, baby. I'm not sure.
Oh. Wow.
I mean, I'd love him to stay on the show, but I don't know. Kevin, we know. Like, Kevin is going to be the drama teacher. We know that from Katie Keene. So
which
he's working
cool
at Riverdale High. I could see Reggie being the coach or something like that.
Yeah. But to your point, you said a second ago, I feel like Reggie could just show up and be like, oh, hey, guys, I left the show a couple years ago, so I'll see you later. I'm in movies now.
I'm doing pretty well. I did The Sun is Also a Star. It did okay. Not as well as 5 feet apart. And Jughead's like, I'm still in character. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Cut. That's a wrap on Reggie. See you guys later.
All right. Do we want to move into some Twitter questions that folks sent in? Let's kick it off with Fangirl1989 on Twitter. Maybe a Taylor Swift fan. Not quite sure. Where do you see the characters in the 5-year time jump? Okay, I think we covered that one pretty well.
Yeah.
But were there any other characters? Like, we didn't talk about the adults. There's a possibility.
I was going to say Alice. Yeah. Alice is a good one. Especially if they're FP's not on the show. Or not in the plan anyway.
Right.
That means that their romance is probably over if she is. So, like, is she going to be single again? Is she going to be with someone else?
I think Alice, makes her own Elvis kind of like jumpsuit and runs a separate farm.
Great.
A new farm.
Okay. Yeah. I think running the TV station makes the most sense for Alice, right?
Or mayor, I think.
Or mayor. That could work as well. This is from TVD Vixen. How would you guys rank the seasons? I think we did this on the last show. But now that you have
we just picked our faves. I don't know if we fully ranked them.
Oh, okay. But should we come up with a ranking we all agree on?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. All agree? A strong.
All 100% agreed. No disagreement. I'm going to say first season is number one, right?
Right. Agreed.
Okay.
Fourth season is number two.
Agreed.
Pete?
And then three and then two.
Yeah, I think so.
At me.
What do you think, Pete? One, four, three, two?
I almost want to go 1, 4, 2, 3, but I'm not sure. I'd have to kind of go back and like kind of do a little deeper dive.
I almost want to go 1, 2, 3, 4 because that's the way I watch them. And that's also how numbers go.
The only reason I'd rank 3 over 2 is not that 2 was bad. There's some great stuff in 2, but 3 is such an insane fever dream.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
it's certainly something that like I think about a lot more than the plot of season 2.
All right, 100%. Touche. You won me over. You won me over. It really reached a, like, crackhead speed of insanity in 3, so.
That's exactly. I feel like the pace of Riverdale is the natural pace is what happened in season 3, and that's where we are from here on out, I feel like.
Yeah. All right, let us know if you disagree at Riverdale Dark. I'm sure there will be no disagreements whatsoever. At It Civic says, do you think any of the couples will be married after the time jump?
I hope Cheryl and Tony.
Yeah, I think we could have a married Shoni Chopez.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Also, I think season 5 will continue the videotape storyline. It'll be the main focus of the first part of the season. Yes, I think that's right. And I think they're going to wrap that up in the first 3 episodes. Though I am curious whether they're going to try to make something cohesive with the rest of the season now that that is 3 20-seconds of the season, you know? Whether there's something that might continue a little longer than we expect.
Well, I mean, there's going to be so much like catching up with all the characters and whatever that drama is, but there's going to be a murder plot or something fucked up also happening.
Yeah, or maybe so, like, the tapes are part of the reason that they're all back or something.
Yeah, maybe it could be an unresolved, the tape mystery could remain unresolved, which I think would be interesting, and then they pick it back up 5 years later, it starts happening again.
Yeah, they all get mailed
cool,
tapes
scary
and they
thing.
Come back. Yeah.
Maybe that's why they come back now, like that all, because that might have been what the plan was, because I would imagine, and I think you said this, Alex, they were going to do the time jump at the button of this past, of season 4, and then just pick it up. So like it might have been Archie getting off the boat and being like, I got, hey, Betty, I love you. I got this tape, Archie forever.
That's a stupid thing to just kind of throw in there as well, dude.
Yeah.
For Archie to say, well, he's a character.
When you said murder mystery, you meant murder my heart, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
They're going to, most of the season 5 is going to be like, do you remember Jughead? And people are going to be like, not really.
Fuck you, man. Deal? Fuck you.
He's the guy that raps, right? I remember that. Yeah. At FIFA Brit says, how will the show deal with the actors playing FP and Hermione leaving the show? They said they wouldn't do season 5, but I assume the characters are needed for the first 3 episodes of the season. They would have allegedly ended season 4. Will they stay? Will they film more now? Yes, they are going to film more, but how do you think they're going to exit? How are Hermione and FP going to leave the show?
Well, I mean, Hermione has done so little. I think maybe she'll finally leave Hiram.
Ooh.
And move fully like to the West Coast or something. Mm-hmm. And it'll be her like just escaping. And hopefully we'll get a nice, I mean, it's just such a, I feel like her character had so much potential and they just never had the time or bandwidth or whatever to get to a ton of stuff with her.
Yeah.
And maybe FP and Jellybean go to like track down their mom or save, you know, her, or maybe she's in trouble or something. Yeah.
We think we're going to get an F Palace breakup.
I think it might be similar to the kids where Alice doesn't want to live Riverdale. Everything's going well for her. Maybe they have a conversation about, look, the kids are all graduating. I'm going to take Jellybean and head back so she can be with her mom and grow up normally for the rest of her life. I could see something like that happening.
Unless, of course, Jellybean is the one sending the tapes.
Oh.
And then, which is... That's a theory I threw out, I think, in one of the last episodes. And maybe it's dealing with the trauma of that. FP's like, we got to get out of this town.
Yeah. Oh, I like that idea. Interesting. This is from @DDetty. I think Cheryl and Tony will be together because they are going to the same college, but it is also possible that Cheryl will quit college because they won't let her do, quote, all the things. I can see that happening.
Yeah. Or I mean, of anyone, Cheryl could be doing anything when they
also
come down this time jump.
Cheryl could get to the college and then end up running that college. So
what's going to be interesting to me is if not they actually do this, but if they write like 4 seasons worth of Riverdale plots for the skip years. Because yeah. then it's they're totally different people. Like if they start referring to things like, "Oh, don't you remember the Squeeze Box reunion? You remember that when that happened?" yeah. And they're like, "Yeah, of course," and start running through those things. That's going to be utterly insane. But I think it'll track closer than that, right?
I love that idea that there's like, yeah, I remember when Jesus was risen and came back a couple years ago. Like, oh yeah, that was in the news.
Yeah. That happened. At BCTTY Andrews, based on what's happened in the season so far and what Roberto said in interviews, what do you all think is going to happen with Barchi in season 5?
Great question.
Nope.
So Pete, you think they're going to go back, they're going to 5 years later, they're going to be like, great to see you again. Back to Bughead and Barchi. Nothing's changed.
No, I think maybe there'll be some bumps in the road, but I hope that the relationship that we all know and love will kind of be able to weather the storm. And maybe they have a little time off. Or maybe when they get back together, they can rekindle that. Who knows? But I don't want to see a shitty fucking relationship like Betty and Archie.
I think they're going to shake it up. I think something has to be different now. I don't know if Betty and Archie will be together when the season starts. In fact, probably not. But I bet this is going to be about like sort of the realignment. Like, who do we feel like we are connected with now? And I think it's going to be different people than we're at now.
What if they do go all the way for it and they come back after the time jump? Archie gets off the boat in Riverdale. Betty is there with him. They kiss.
Fuck
She's
you.
Wearing a wedding ring.
No.
They're married.
Yeah.
No.
What if they did that?
Well, then I think I'm done.
You're done?
You're done?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
You can't do that. You can't fucking do that. I don't want to watch
of
that for a whole season.
That would but be there's awful. Gonna be, there's going to be dry. It's not like it's just they're happily married. There's going to be.
Betty loved him before she knew what she wanted in somebody. All right. He was just the guy.
You're talking about Jughead.
What?
You're talking about Jughead.
No. Talking about Archie, the dumb neighbor.
Well, you guys are both still with your high school sweethearts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Okay, funny. Well, and also, I think you've had 4 seasons of Bughead, so you're owed. We get 4 seasons of Barchi on the other side. How it works. That's not how it works.
Let me throw this out to you. What would you think of this scenario, Pete? All right? Just like if you feel uncomfortable with the other scenario presented, what about this one? Okay.
Okay.
Archie gets off the boat the Navy. Betty is there on the dock waiting for him. She comes up to him. She kisses him. She's wearing a wedding ring. She's married. She says, "Your kids want to see you too." They have 3 kids together. They're happily married. That's the last episode.
Fuck
of
you.
The show. What do you think of that?
Do
you like that scenario better?
No, but first off, it was adorable the way you said wedding wing. That was really cute. And you should do that
was
more
very
often.
Cute.
That was really adorable.
That was actually in Alex's vows. That's how he was referred to.
Wedding wing.
Alex is married when he was 4.
Yeah.
He was married to his preschool sister. Okay, Pete, if you didn't like that scenario, what if all
Ask
the kids
me again
are
when we're 12.
What if all the kids are named Jughead? All of Barchi's kids are named Jughead.
That's fucked up. First off, that's really fucked up, but I still don't like this scenario.
That is something Archie would do. It'd be like, "Oh, I feel so guilty. Let's name this kid Jughead 2.
Jughead 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
Yeah. This one's called Forsyth Pendleton the 3rd. Jughead's that's my fucking actual name. What are you doing? Left turn on this question. This is from Nelson Blitz Kelso. Which episode was actually more Lynchian or the pilot episode of Riverdale?
Who? Pilot.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. I feel like Riverdale has always worn its influences on its sleeve, and no more so than in the first season, especially out of the gate. And it's a classic pilot thing, because I feel like this show was sold on the idea of, like, you know what wholesome Archie comics are. What if we did the Twin Peaks version of that? So that's what they did at the top.
I'm going to just defer to you on that, because you know Lynch stuff much better. All I've really seen are his weather reports, and that's pretty much it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's definitely the most best stuff.
Yeah, I just want to know who Log Lady is.
Yeah.
who she is
in Riverdale. Is that a mystery? I've only watched a couple of episodes of Twin Peaks, and I feel like even I know the answer to that.
The Log Lady is the Log Lady. Right. But the Gargoyle King had a lot of logs yeah, as that's part true. Of his body.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when are they going to reveal who Kyle MacLachlan played?
That's a great point. Yeah. That's the thing is, if you look at the credits, they reveal a lot of who the actors are playing.
Mm-hmm. No, I never watch those. I want to preserve the surprise.
This yeah, I don't Jules... turn on TV to read.
Jules 208. Yeah, so excited. Question. Objectively speaking, writing-wise, what are each of your thoughts on Barchi? I.e. their storyline, if they have the potential to be endgame, could they be good together? How do you see their storyline progressing? Predictions? Objectively, please, Pete, LOL.
Objectively.
I did not. Thank you. First off, thank you for being nice about it, and, you know, that I appreciate that. But objectively speaking... Archie is so beneath Betty, it's a fucking insult to suggest that they would be together. He is the equivalent of dating a fucking puppy dog that has like a treat tied on the end of a string in front of him, okay? He can't even stay with Veronica. How the fuck is he gonna pull off Betty?
Can I throw out a scenario at you, Pete? All right, just a scenario here. I know you weren't happy with the first two, but how about this?
Archie gets off the ship.
Archie gets off the boat, all right? He gets off the boat on the pier on Riverdale. Betty comes up to him. She's there. She walks up. They're very old now. They're like 98 or so, something like that. That's how far the time jump is. Betty kisses him. She's wearing a wedding ring. They are married. A wedding ring? Should I say that?
Yeah, it's a wedding ring.
They're married. Betty says, wow. Archie, you and I have lived a long, happy life together with no problems whatsoever. This is your entire extended family behind you here on the pier. This is the last moments of our lives. Jughead sucks. And then they die. What do you think about that scenario, Pete? How does that strike you?
Objectively speaking, if what you said was true and you took back maybe the last couple of sentences and then on the other end of a pier, you see Jughead, who is now looking more like Rambo and just murders everybody and then goes, Betty, you and I were supposed to be together. And Betty like picks up one of the corpses, wipes some blood on her face and is like, I'm Dark Betty again. And then they run off and be together forever. That would be awesome.
So in this scenario, that's a cool Betty, dream. Who is 98 years old, says, yeah. Hey, Jughead, thanks for murdering my entire family.
Exactly.
Let's go off into the woods. All right. Yeah.
What if at the other end of that pier, it's Jughead, and he kisses the typewriter? The typewriter has a ring on one of its keys. They're married. And they have a bunch of novels as children.
Oh, wow.
Have we answered that question?
I'll give you a solid answer on that. Objectively, we're journalists, as always.
We are not.
I think the specific, the way they handled the Archie-Betty relationship this season, I thought was really great and very, like, I think as a viewer, I got swept up in it. I think many people it was an intense thing, and then it sort of got truncated quickly, which I think left it wide open for all of the speculation, and especially with the time jump coming, leaves the door wide open for it to come back because it never got to play out. And I think that was really smart. I really like that they have rooted it in their sort of childhood stuff. It's been something that the show hasn't touched on hardly at all. It's been sort of there a little bit from season one and then just an undertone. So there's a lot to explore, and I like the way they went hard and then sort of stepped away so they can play with it all next season. Barchi forever.
Objectively speaking, I agree with you that I think they have opened the door so that they can play with it more in season 5. But when it comes to Endgame, I am completely hesitant to say absolutely anything until they say they're going to cancel the show, you know, or they're ending the show of their own accord or whatever's going to happen. Like in that scenario, that's the point when like we'll know if they're heading in the Betty Archie direction or if they're heading in the Betty Jughead direction or the Veronica Archie direction or whatever direction they're going with. That'll give us a better idea of where they're going. But like right now, it's more about They've upended the apple cart. They're playing around with it a little bit. We'll see what happens.
I could easily see them ending this show in however many seasons from now with Archie being like, all right, I'm finally happy. And then turning around and there is whoever he's not with at the time. And that's where they end it. You know, like it's going to be, he's still in the middle. Mm-hmm. It sort of has a nice shape to it if you come back to this thing where it's just all unresolved feelings. Because, I mean, that's, despite everything that's happened in this show, that is what sort of the root of the appeal of Archie has always been, it seems like. It's hard to tell. I mean, I'm not like, oh, I love Archie because he can't figure out who he wants to date. But it is definitely sort of the original thing of it.
Yeah. And then like what you were saying, Pete, then Jughead could eat 40 cheeseburgers or something, whatever he does. Yes, Pete. Is there something you wanted to say?
No, because I can't be objective. So as much as I appreciate that person tweeting at us and listening to our show, it's just not how I work. So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Adore Lily X. Cole says, if both Bughead and Varchi break up because of the Varchi kiss, who do you think has a better chance of getting back together after the 5-year time jump? Who do you think is more endgame? Sorry if that doesn't make sense. In my opinion, I think Bughead has a better chance. What do you think about that one, Pete?
Yeah, that's nice.
That's a good question, because that's sort of a separate question from what we've been talking about. Which of those two specific couples have a more of a chance of coming back?
I think Bughead. Like, I think there is a part of me, as much as I'd be excited for them to explore the Varchi thing, just because I like drama and I like them shaking things up. I feel
you
like
you do love drama. You,
oh, I'm a sassy bitch.
You love drama.
I feel like the story is they break up Bughead. How do they come back to each other? You know, what are they like after this time jump? How have they changed? How are they different? Do they find each other after that? That to me feels like a very powerful story to explore on the show.
Yeah. And let me throw a couple things that occurred to me while you're talking. It feels like, what if this show shifts the sort of love triangle completely and it's fully away from Veronica and Archie and the triangle is Jughead, Archie, and Betty? And it's about Betty's choice and she is having a hard time choosing between these two men in her life, which represent two very different things for her, because I think Betty and Jughead, their relationship and their sort of love is highly intellectual. It's about like what they do together and what they're capable of together and how they're able to solve these mysteries and fix so many problems. While the Betty Archie thing feels much more like heart, passion, like simpatico feelings. So like those are two very different sides of like what love is. And I could see them playing with that a lot. 'Cause at the end of the day, I think there's a way that Bughead can exist without a romantic relationship tied to it. Like, I think they have a connection that is about mystery and like questioning and trying to solve things that I think could exist completely. So even if whoever Betty is with, there's a Bughead out there. Objective.
I mean, I kind of understand what you're saying, but there's a little film called Ponytail Playmate that might disagree with you.
Wow. And you've filmed that, right, Alex?
Yeah, I filmed that. And I distributed it to my local VHS stores. I was going to say restaurants.
VHS restaurants. wow. So how we've really gotten closed the door on the 90s so quickly.
We have. Ryan,
back in those
R. Hensler says, between Shoni, this is going to get to something different by the end, but between Shoni, Bughead, and Varchi, which couple or couples do you think will be together after the time jump? We've covered that. Do you think Tony's family will cause tension between Shoni? Do you think Tony will get more screen time in season 5? That's the new question there. What do you think?
Please.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
For those of you listening at home, Pete tore his shirt off Hulk Hogan style when he said that. I think, yes, I think if they haven't heard the fan outcry for more Tony time, they're not listening.
Like, we want Tony time.
Yeah. Hashtag Tony time. Get it trending, folks. All right.
And I do think, especially if since they're losing, we're losing some of the parental storylines and roles, there is more real estate in Riverdale for Tony.
Ooh. I agree. We got one last question here at Vale Lopez underscore 1206. This is kind of a long one from the Notes app. I copied this from their Notes app into my Notes app, which is very exciting. Considering there is a difference of age between Cheryl and Jason, since they were at different grades in season one, and that we know that Blossoms adopt children to marry their own children, do you think there's a possibility they weren't actually twins and just one of them is truly a Blossom? Because I feel like either Penelope loves Jason because he is a son of hers and the only person she truly loved, and hates Cheryl because she comes from the same place where she was picked from and it's a living reminder of her past, or she hates Cheryl because she has Blossom blood and loves Jason because he was like her, an orphan.
Wow.
So,
epic question.
Not to throw a crank in this, but I believe the mistake where they said that Jason and Cheryl were different ages because they were like, Jason, they referenced Jason being 17 when Cheryl was clearly 16 or something like that, was just an error and you should just ignore it.
Yes, but isn't there some truth to the thing that, like, they're not actually related, that one of them is adopted?
That's definitely possible. Like, as far as we know, Penelope had twins, but we also saw that Penelope and Clifford were both just redheaded children that were adopted, or Clifford was the son, Penelope was adopted to marry Clifford.
Yeah.
So it's possible they did that again. That would certainly be something that they could pull out at some point.
Yeah, and that's a good, very intense storyline they could get into, especially since Jason's corpse was a big major player in season four, obviously. Yeah, but off. Like, we didn't really get into too much of like the deal with him. I don't know. I feel like maybe Cheryl is not Blossom of the two of them.
Yeah,
no way, man.
Yeah,
Cheryl's all Blossom.
I could see something where she starts to doubt it, but then finds out she's the real Blossom or something like that, yeah. Where they use it to discredit her and take her inheritance, so she has to make her own way in the world.
Well, yeah, maybe she's Blossom from the TV show Blossom.
Mm. Oh.
Right. And,
sick rep.
Six. She's friends with a girl named Six, and yep. That's all I remember. She has a hat. She has Bucket a hat of some sort. Oh, whoa. Oh, yeah, right, Joey.
Don't forget about that.
All right, before we wrap up here, though, we do have one last important thing to do, and that
we got
is
a classic segment. Justin says he's going to have a haiku ready, too.
Oh.
Yep, I said that, 575.
Yeah. Oh, okay, great. Do you want to go first, Justin?
Yeah.
No, Pete's poem is kicking it off, I believe.
No. Justin, you should go.
I'm going to make an executive decision. Pete, read your poem.
Wow.
No, because you read a haiku. Justin's to read a haiku, since you guys both did haikus, and then mine's a little
Alex's
different.
Alex's was not a haiku.
Like. Mine was not a haiku.
Oh, really?
Okay, I'll just read mine. Jughead's typewriter. He types on me all day long. Barchi forever. That's my favorite character on the show, is the typewriter. Wait. Yes. Preach.
Pete, you want to read yours?
All right. It's kind of long.
Yes.
All right. Bear with me. I was drinking.
Is that the title? Is it about the bear who killed Archie?
So I couldn't just pick one, okay? And the title tells you who's my favorite. But I was pounding Mountain Dew and vodka, and this is what happened.
Oh, my God.
All right. Pounding? Jesus.
That's disgusting in many ways.
That's actually kind of nice. You do a little club soda, a little Mountain Dew, a little vodka. It's nice.
Oh, God. You put club soda in it as well?
Well, you don't want much dew. You know what I mean? You got to want to keep the vodka taste in there, too.
Yeah. What's their slogan? Dilute the dew?
Exactly.
You want to be able to taste the vodka.
Dilute the dew. It's too strong.
Okay. So like I said, this is more of a spoken word. So if you guys could, you know, keep your guffaws and bullshit to yourself until the end so I could get all the way through this. Okay. It's titled Thanks a Lot, Riverdale. I do not watch you. It's you who watches me, staring, unblinking as I teeter on the edge of sanity. Cannibals, floating babies, and bears, oh my, don't can my balls and sell them to the farm. I'll cry. Kevin's pain and loss knows no bounds. How can you casually live with a corpse? T.T.'s love binds and grounds Cheryl's life. As it's as crazy as Jingle Jangle, yet somehow so right. Hell, you even helped me mourn the loss of Pike. That flannel father was truly one of the greats. You changed me, Rivy D, waded me to a new shore. You watch as I toiled in the whodunits and mania galore. The tapes, the mass, the power of the role-playing. But what role do you play? You changed the game, the script, the pacing so fast, rocketing me into a cult-like following with a blast. All hail the Griffin Queen, the Serpent King, the Ram, Deadeye Blossom, River Vixens, Fangs, Aff Palace, the Sex Bunker, Creepy Dolls, and even creepier Nanas. So many new things to my new lexicon. Don't ask me what a sticky maple is. And no, I don't want to join your prison fight club, mad dog. I can't quit you, Riverdale, so don't you quit me. I'm just chained to the fridge, hoping and waiting to see.
Wow. Oh, man. That, I love it.
That was truly amazing, Pete.
Really great.
No Very. Jokes whatsoever. That was awesome. I love that.
Me too. I love that. It was a beat poet. Shit, man. Rivy D. It's Rivy D.
Great. Yeah, Pete's going to be taking tips after the podcast.
Text and you... What's that?
Oh, Pete's going to be taking tips after the podcast. He'll be outside if anybody...
Exactly. I can't believe I texted that as a sort of a bit, and you wrote something wicked.
Wow.
Great job. I thought it was something that we had to do, so yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you did it.
You did, but Pete, you did have to do it. You did have to do it.
For your soul dictated that you do it.
Yeah.
And our souls are dictating that this episode is over. This is it for Riverdale for the moment. I know we said that at the end of the last podcast, but hey, there's a long break. Maybe we'll figure out something to do between now and January. If you folks have any ideas, throw them at us. We'd love to keep taping stuff, keep coming and chatting with you, letting you know here on Riverdale After Dark. In the meantime, we do a live show every Tuesday at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. We talk about comic books. Happy to talk about Riverdale as well. Come check it out. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show. On social, Twitter, you can check out at Riverdale Dark. On Instagram, at Riverdale After. At Riverdale After Dark. On Facebook, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. And we'll see you after dark.
Welcome to the darkness, Rivy D.